Great to be in the house of the Lord with the people of God this morning. It is Communion Sunday, and that's pretty cool. And so every first Sunday of the new month, so today is March 1st, I was shocked. I was like, what? It's March? What? How did this happen? For a while, like last week, I thought we had like another day in February, and I thought next week would be like next week and would be like somehow the first week of March, and not quite. So in any event, here we are. So first Sunday of the month, we celebrate communion, and like lots of churches all around the world, and this has been true for the better part of 2,000 years, Christians in local churches have obeyed the Lord in terms of celebrating the Lord's Supper and doing this in remembrance of him as often as we will. Jesus gave us a lot of flexibility about how often we would celebrate, but at the same time, he expected that we would have some kind of rhythm to doing it. And so many churches pick first or second Sunday of the month. Some other churches do it a little bit differently, but we have a rhythm in which you celebrate the Lord's Supper because this is a time where Jesus took the original Jewish Passover or the Seder, right? And that's what he was having with his disciples near the end of his life. It was what we would now call, or our Jewish friends would now call, a Seder service, right? And this was very normal for Jews because they were celebrating God's liberation of the Hebrew people from Egyptian bondage. And so he was celebrating that, but he did something really different. He took it and he bent it around himself. Rather than the Passover lamb, which was originally instituted in the Old Testament, being the focal point of this time, where Hebrews put the lamb's blood on their door and the death angel passed over them, but then executed judgment on the Egyptians, right, for the incredible bondage that they'd subjected the Hebrews to. Instead of that, what Jesus was saying is, I'm the new lamb. And everybody, not just Egyptians, but everybody is worthy of God's judgment. Everybody is worthy of judgment in terms of death for sin. Everybody is worthy of damnation, right? And Jesus said, I'm the new lamb. And if you believe in me, and if you believe in what I'm about to do, because he was about to die, and if we believe in God's forgiveness of us by grace through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, if we believe in that, and we believe in the fact that we are sinners and we need to turn away from evil, we believe that, we can be free. We can be spiritually liberated the same way that Hebrews were physically emancipated from Egyptian bondage. We can be liberated from the bondage of sin and reconciled to God, right? And he bent the entire Seder service around himself, and he said to us, now you celebrate this. You celebrate this, because we need a constant reminder of what the Lord did for us, right? We need a constant reminder of the fact that we are free. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are freed from sin. We do not have to give into it. We do not have to say yes to it. We can now say yes to God and no to sin, evil, hell, and death. And just a little meditation on that for today, for our communion time, is from John chapter 10. This is the passage where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd, right? And he's got a lot to say about being the good shepherd, because he's speaking against bad shepherds, right, who had thought themselves to be God's shepherds. And they just kicked a blind man out of their synagogue for being healed by Jesus of all things, and for not renouncing Christ. And so that John 9 bit, actually, John 10 and John 9 go together. And what Jesus is doing is he's standing up for the blind man and saying, he made the right choice. You guys are the losers, and you need to repent, because I'm the good shepherd, and I determine who comes in and out of God's sheepfold, not you. You don't get to kick people out. I'm the one who makes that determination. And so he is going on about being the good shepherd. He says this little thing, though, as part of that good shepherd sermon. He says this in John 10, and I'm starting in verse 17. He says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life for the sheep, so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down of my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I have received from my Father. And of course, in laying down his life, he's talking about dying. He's looking towards the cross. He's talking about the fact that he's going to die for the sins of the world. He's also talking about Easter Sunday, the resurrection. He says, I have authority to lay down my life. I have authority to take it up again. And it's interesting. He's talking about this interplay between him and the Father. He's basically saying, look, the Father's given me this commandment. My dad told me to. But I want to. My Father told me to. And I want to. So it's this great picture of obedience and then delightful submission to the Father's will. There are those, and even some Christians, who are scandalized by this notion that on at Jesus' sacrifice, his atonement, that he was our substitute, right? Which is a fancy pants, the fancy pants word for what Jesus did on the cross for us. It's called substitutionary atonement, right? That's a really fancy pants seminary way of saying Jesus died for your sins, right? That basically it was supposed to be us. We were worthy of judgment. We were worthy of all of God's wrath, right? Death, hell, everything. And Jesus said, I will be in their place. The innocent will suffer for the unrighteous. I will do this for the whole world. And he was our substitute. And he took on the judgment that was supposed to be due to us. And this is how God forgives. And you may say, okay, that's pretty clear. There are some who would say, no, that's not true. That can't be true. It's morally repugnant. Because it would be divine child abuse. Literally, that's a phrase that's used. And, you know, my thing is like, well, Jesus seems to be okay with it. Jesus is a grown man. This isn't a child being abused. He's a grown man knowing what's coming and willingly going. Right? And he's very clear in this passage and in other ones too, but I think this one, he's so emphatic about this. Talking to these Pharisees and these synagogue leaders, and he says, I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. And you might look at that and say, well, that's kind of weird, because, like, you know, we're in Lent and we're headed towards Holy Week, and it seems like there's a lot of people who took his life. Right? I mean, there's a lot of people who went out of their way to take his life. I mean, obviously, the Jewish religious leaders, they did it. And then, you know, and then you have Pilate was a part of it as well. He kind of tried to wash his hands of it, but he's in the mix for culpability. So how can Jesus say, I laid down my life, right? I did it. I have authority to do this because my Father told me to. It's because Jesus could have stopped it. Jesus could have summoned a battalion of angels to stop this if he wanted to. The Father could have sent a battalion of angels. He could have stopped this at any point because he's Jesus. All the miracles he worked, everything he did, he could have stopped it and said, no, that's it, man. I'm out. I have seen how craptacular humans can be, and I don't want to die for you guys. We're not doing that. Cool idea, but now that it's like, you know, right up to Good Friday, and, you know, and I see how terrible you could be, my disciples, I even told them, they're going to leave me. Right? Jesus has seen the worst of us. He even predicted, with his own disciples, he predicted the worst of his own disciples. He tells them, y'all going to leave me. And they're like, no, not us. Peter's like, I would die for you. He's like, no, you won't. You won't even stand up for me. You won't even say you know me. No, you won't. He's seen the worst of us, and yet he goes. And yet he goes. This is great news. Right? Number one, because it means that when he says he loves us, it means he wasn't constrained. Right? And we're told that God loves us, and Jesus went to the cross for us out of God's love. This wasn't forced. The Father did not have to twist his son's arm. He didn't have to force him to go. This isn't divine child abuse. Jesus says, I'm a grown man. I know what's coming. I have chosen. And that means he chose for you. That means he chose for me. He chose for the world over and against himself, his own comfort, his own well-being. He chose, right? It's also good news because this means that Jesus looked, he knew the worst of us. He knew going on the cross, he knew how terrible we could be. Right? There's one passage in John that says, Jesus didn't need anybody to tell him about human beings because he knew what was in man. He knew. It's one thing to like think somebody's amazing and to die for them. To be like, oh, I think Frank is amazing. He's the coolest guy in the world. Of course I'd lay down my life for Frank. He's so cool. Right? But like, what if you know, like, Frank is terrible. Frank is awful. He's the worst kind of person. He's repugnant. Right? He's bad. People know he's bad, and you know he's worse because you've seen his email. And you have access to his Facebook account, and his Instagram, and his X account. So you really know how bad Frank is. And maybe you think through it, you think again, you'd be like, I don't know if I want to die for Frank. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. He knew how terrible we were. And he says, I lay down my life. I take it up again. Because I love them. Do you know that's still true? That wasn't just true 2,000 years ago on Good Friday. It's still amazingly true. It blazes hotter than the sun. It's brighter than any star. He still knows. And the cross is still effective. As we come to the Lord today for communion, whatever you've got, you heard the song, we just sang the song, Jesus is a chain breaker, he's a liberator, he can break us out of whatever prison we've worked ourselves into. He still knows, he still forgives, he still calls you to repent, he demands that, there will be no negotiation about that, but his cross is still effective. He knows. And the cross is still effective, even though he's reigning and ruling, and one day will come back again for judgment. He knows. So take full advantage of this Savior who went willingly and who still forgives willingly. It's not just for Good Friday 2,000 years ago. It's for right now, too. He knows. And yet the cross is still effective, even for me. Even for you. So what we're going to do today is we are going to pray a prayer. A prayer, acknowledging that he knows and he's it still yet willingly forgives. Right? We're going to pray a prayer today where we come before him and we come clean. And this is something that we've prayed before here at Journey. And somebody else's words, but it's your heart, and that's the important thing. I'm going to pray a prayer of confession. Whatever it is you have to confess. Whatever it is, he already knows. You're hiding nothing, right? So don't try, right? Don't try. He knows and he still willingly forgives, whatever it is. Let's pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done. And we have done what we ought not to have done. And there's no health in us. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are penitent according to your promises declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord, and grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that we may live a godly, righteous, and obedient life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The elders come up. Let's prepare communion. Worship team's going to come up. I'm going to pray over the elements, and then the elders are going to distribute communion. Let the Lord minister to your heart as the worship team leads us yet again into the Lord's presence. Friends, he already knows. Whatever it is, he knows. Come clean, and he is still willing to forgive and willing to move you beyond whatever prison we've worked our way into. He knows. Let's take full advantage of the grace that the Lord extends to us. Let's pray and enter into the Lord's presence. Father God, in the great name of Jesus, we consecrate these elements. They are common, but you are holy, and this time is holy. Lord God, consecrate them to a holy usage that we might enter into your presence in a deep way by taking communion. Father, we want to taste more of the grace that you have for us, more mercy, more power and freedom in Christ. Please be with us, Lord God. Help us to know the freedom it is, the freedom that you have, Lord, for us, in the power of the cross, in the power of the resurrection. By grace through faith, Lord, feed your people and strengthen our faith. Amen, amen. Glory be to God. Friends, prepare your heart to take communion. First, the wafer. This is the body of Christ broken for you. In accordance to the way the Lord has ministered to your heart, take and eat. Now the grape juice. This is the blood of Christ shed for you for the remission of sins. In accordance with the way the Lord has ministered to your heart, take and drink. This is the kind of appetizer for the great wedding feast of the Lamb when the Lord returns. Joyfully and hopefully await your full inheritance, because it is coming, hopefully soon. What we're going to do is pray another prayer, and this is a prayer where we pray a prayer of pardon. And we do this not because we're awesome, not because we did the right thing and God says, oh, you did the right ritual, therefore I have to do X. It is actually because we trust in the fact that the Lord is gracious. The Lord is kind. The Lord is merciful. And we're acknowledging his mercy, his grace. So we come clean with the Lord. We're going to leave clean because the Lord makes it possible. So let's pray. The Lord has hidden his face from our sin. He has blotted out all our iniquity. In Christ and his cross, he has created within us a clean heart and a renewed, a right spirit within us. In this way, we are not cast away from his presence. We are endowed with his Holy Spirit, restored to the joy of God's salvation, and given a willing spirit to do all that he asks and desires of us. For in Christ Jesus, the perfect suffered for the imperfect. The sinless became sin for the sinner. We are forgiven and freed to live in a right relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, you are forgiven indeed. Amen. Believe that. Believe that. All right, so what we're going to do now is something that we've been working on for better part of a year at this point. I think we started in August of last year. And what we've been doing is we've said, okay, so communion is a special time to be in God's presence in a special way, right? Every church that practices communion, you're saying, hey, this is special. This isn't the normal way that we enter into God's presence. And that's fine. And we said, hey, why not take full advantage of that and keep going? And so we added a prayer element to our time. And so we have what we just call in a great fancy pants bit of wording, our Sunday prayer meeting. Ha. Huh. Okay. So our Sunday prayer meeting, and it consists of just a few elements that we have. The few elements are, number one, we just added this one last month, is we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. Right? So we pray just the Lord's Prayer together, just to get us focused on the same page with prayer. So we'll do that. Our next element will be that we're going to pray for kind of bigger interests, national, state, city. We know that there's now a conflict with Iran, so that's going to be, that's one of our bullet points that we're going to be praying for. Also, we'll be praying for safety, wisdom, salvation for President Trump, Governor Ferguson, and Mayor Ibsen. And then also just for general revival, for our country to repent and turn to Christ. So that, it's as simple as that. Our next element will be prayer for the church. So we're going to pray for encouragement for members, breakthrough for prayer, gospel opportunities for Easter, and then for replication of leadership here in our church. Our last element, as always, is time where you people will be praying individually with their own individual concerns. That's just you praying yourself. And you have the opportunity to raise your hand if you want others to pray for you. You can write down a prayer request and to be read out loud. So if you want something to be read out loud, but you don't want to, you know, broadcast that yourself, that's fine. And then also, if you've been praying in small groups by this time, you can continue to pray in your little group. Or if you want to continue to pray by yourself, that's also fine. Our time today is about freedom. We're not trying to make anybody do anything. So if you say, I don't want to pray with people, you're cool. Right? If you're like, I do want to pray with people, as long as they want to pray with you, you're cool, right? Lots of freedom here, not things for constraint. And with each level, by the time we get to the point we're praying for our church, we want people to feel free to get up and pray with others around them, right? If you want to keep your prayer group by the end of our time and you want to keep praying together, that's fine. That is allowed. So there we are. So those are the elements that we have. We'll be working through those together. For each element, I myself or George will come up and introduce it, and then we ourselves will pray, and that prayer will be a kickoff for you to pray. So when it comes, for instance, to the stuff for nation, state, city, right, there'll be a prayer for that from up front, but then that's also a time where you're going to pray. And so it'd be kind of this time of silence. Don't worry about the silence. Silence is good. Silence is our friend. So it gives us time to, like, get your head together and pray and do that. So there we go. Also, we're always looking for ways to improve our time. So if you have any suggestions, always let us know. You can do that in the comment cards up front. Or if you want to talk to me personally or George or any other elders or anybody else, that is entirely fine. We are taking suggestions because we know we don't get everything right. But there we are. So. To start out our time, we're going to start out with the Lord's Prayer. Because I'm up here right now, I'll lead us in the Lord's Prayer. George is going to come up after that, and then he will start us out in our time for government, for national, state, city, and then we'll go on from there. So let's start out in just the Lord's Prayer to get all on the same page. This is the Jesus Prayer. Let's do this. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.
So as Pastor Myron has mentioned, we're now going to be praying, and I'll just read down through them: peaceful, righteous, and wise outcomes to the conflict in Iran, safety, wisdom, and salvation for President Trump, Governor Ferguson, and Mayor Ibsen, and then for the U.S. to repent and return to Christ. So I'm going to lead out in prayer, and then I just want to have a time spent of individual prayers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, you know all. But Lord, you love it when we come before you with request and petitions, Heavenly Father, and we just now lift up the situation, specifically in Iran. Heavenly Father, we know that there has been a lot of bloodshed there, a lot of conflict, Heavenly Father, and Lord, we want your will to be done. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, when sometimes our opinions are voiced when we really don't know what your will is. So we ask for your will to be done. We lift up the people of Iran, Heavenly Father, those who have lost loved ones due to conflict, Heavenly Father. We lift up our brothers and sisters in Iran, Heavenly Father, that are living through this time there, Heavenly Father, for their protection. Lord, we lift up the leadership of Iran. Who will lead Iran, Heavenly Father? We pray that you, Heavenly Father, would restore order and put leadership into that land, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that governing bodies around the world, Heavenly Father, we pray for wisdom for them, Heavenly Father, as they work in this situation, Lord God. We think of our own nation, Heavenly Father. We pray for wisdom for our leadership in the military, Heavenly Father, the leadership of our president and those that have charge over the decisions that are made from the U.S., Heavenly Father. May wisdom be given to them, Heavenly Father, by you, Heavenly Father. And we just pray for your hand over this, Lord God. And we pray for the nation of Israel, Lord Jesus, for its protection, Heavenly Father. Your will be done there, Lord God, and give them wisdom, Heavenly Father. Lord, we do lift up our president, Heavenly Father. We lift up Governor Ferguson and Mayor Ebsen, Heavenly Father. We pray for wisdom. Lord, we pray for wisdom from you that would, if there's thoughts in their minds, Heavenly Father, that conflict with that, Lord Jesus, we pray that your wisdom would come boldly into their minds, Lord Jesus, and they would bow their knee to you, Heavenly Father. We pray for wisdom as they make decisions that govern us, local and our state and national, Heavenly Father. And we just pray for peace in our nation, Heavenly Father. We pray for revival in our nation, Heavenly Father. We are thankful for the reports that we hear across our nation, some in our colleges, Heavenly Father, some in churches, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for revival that is happening. But we just pray that that would come across our whole nation, Lord God. People would return to you. Our churches, Heavenly Father, would return to you and not the secular issues of the day, Heavenly Father, but we would put you first, Heavenly Father. We would seek you, Heavenly Father, and what your word tells us and teaches us, Heavenly Father. And so we pray for wisdom for us individually, Lord God, that we would be able to discern your voice from all the noise of the world, Heavenly Father. And now, Lord God, be with us as we continue to lift these up before you.
I'm going to move on to our second element for prayer, and that's for the church. For us, for our congregation. And we have a few elements here. Encouragement for the discouraged in our church. For breakthrough in prayer, if you have prayer that you've been putting before God for a long time and you're waiting for breakthrough, or maybe some of us just need speedy solutions and we're wondering, you know, where those are. You know, we're going to pray for breakthrough. We're going to pray for one another's prayers, right? And then also for gospel opportunities for us leading up to Easter and for us to be able to raise up leaders from within our church. So we're going to pray for that right now for our church. If the Lord puts something else on your heart to pray, please pray it. Okay, that is fine. But these are the four items we're praying for right now. So let's go ahead and pray. And then we're going to, of course, just like we just did, I'll pray, and then there'll be a time for us to pray silently to ourselves. Let's pray. Father God, in the great name of Jesus, we are yours. You are the Lord of the church. Jesus is the head. We are the body. And so we pray in the name of Jesus for the life of our very church. Thank you for establishing us as a church, Lord. Thank you for the great leaders and servants that we've had as a part of this church to this very day. We just praise your name that you're so kind to keep us together, to work through us, to help us to be effective in our particular outpost of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, for sustaining us and for being with us as a church. We lift these items up before you, Lord, because you're the one that we have to turn to for any and all solutions, Lord God, for any and all good things. We believe we read in Scripture that says that you are the Father of lights, and any and all good things come from you. So, Lord, we are lifting these items up to you because we are going to trust you for them as we trust you for so many other things, Lord. Please be with us. We pray, Lord, for those who are discouraged in our church, who are discouraged because of loss of loved ones, who are discouraged because of illness, who are discouraged because of joblessness, who are discouraged because of financial issues, who are discouraged because of anything, Lord, anything that could come our way. We are praying, Lord, for supernatural encouragement from you, strength from heaven for those of us who struggle with discouragement in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we are praying for breakthrough in prayer. Some of us have been praying a long time for different kinds of items, or we simply need speedy solutions. We need healing, Lord. We need relationships reconciled. We don't have answers to very important questions in our lives. Or we just need your presence, Lord. Lord, we pray for breakthrough. Lord God, for the saints of God, that you'd provide speedy breakthrough in the great name of Jesus, that you would do it, Father God. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for gospel opportunities leading up to Easter. We pray, God, that you'd be with us and help us to increase our ability to rub noses with and be face-to-face with people in our community. We pray for gospel opportunities for our church in general, but also for us individually, for our households. Increase our gospel opportunities to be able to share Jesus with people who do not yet know the Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, place this urgency on our hearts. Help us to share the gospel with our unbelieving friends, relatives, neighbors. Please be with us in this. Go before us in this, in the name of Jesus. Lastly, Lord, we pray for you to help us to raise up leaders from within our church. Thank you for current and former leaders that we've had here. We bless your name that you're so kind to raise people up and to tap them on the shoulder and to call them to special elements of service. We pray for more, Lord God, by your hand, in your way, men and women of God, who want to take up the mantle of leadership and to serve you in this special way, to serve your people and your purposes in this special way. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, we pray for this. Father God, we turn to you as a congregation. Help us, Lord, intercede for us, even in our prayers. Help us to pray rightly and to pray with the mind of Christ. Please be with us.
Amen. So the final element of our time is that it's a time where people can continue to pray for individual requests. If you want to raise your hand and you want somebody to pray for you, you can do that, and we got you. And you don't have to be an elder, you have to be me to do that. If you just want to go pray for somebody, like somebody, you see a hand raised, you're like, I want to pray for that person. Do it. Do it. No problem. You want to write down a prayer request. We're going to have a bowl in the back for you, and you can fill out a little prayer card in your seat back, and you can fill that out, and we'll read it from up front at the end, okay? And we'll have everybody praying for you, and it's being set up right now. And then if you want to pray in a small group, that's cool. If you just want to pray by yourself, you're like, I want to pray by myself. That's what I want to do. Go. No problem. Total freedom here. But that's what we're going to do as we approach this time. I'll start us off, and then we'll enter in. This is our last phase. Let's do that. Father God, in the great name of King Jesus, you hear us. Thank you that you are the God who hears. You're the God who hears prayer. You're the God who answers prayer. Will you bless your name, that you hear us? You hear us on behalf of each other. You hear us on behalf of ourselves. Thank you that you're the God who teaches us how to pray. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in this time, we pray, God, that you continue to be with us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to lift each other up in prayer. We pray, God, for you to be powerful among us in the Holy Spirit and to help us to pray in accordance with the very mind of Christ. Help us to remember what Jesus told us, that we want to pray, we're to ask, to seek, to knock, that every ask will be answered. Every time we seek, we're going to find, and the door will be open to those who knock. Lord God, we want to take you up on this invitation by grace through faith. Meet us in this place. Feed us, Lord. Good Shepherd, give us what we need in the place of prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. To close out our time, I'm going to read a few prayer requests. And we're going to pray. So this isn't just, don't just listen to me pray, you pray. Okay. Number one is healing for Parkinson's, for a specific individual. Let's pray. Lord God, we believe in healing, and we are praying, God, that by the blood of the Lamb, that you'd heal this person. In the name of Jesus, that you'd bring about this heavenly solution. We know what the doctors say. We know what this diagnosis is about. We want to hear what you say. We want to hear from heaven. We are praying, Lord, for you to say something different, for you to reverse this in the great name of King Jesus, miraculously. We pray for healing. We pray, Lord, for you to give us big-time faith. And we pray, God, for you to reverse the situation in this person's life. In the name of Jesus, healing from Parkinson's. Lord, we're going to believe you for it, and we're going to trust you for this solution. Healing from Parkinson's right now in the great name of King Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Prayer for a few friends suffering health challenges. We got for JC and KH, so we pray for them. Lord God, we don't know what these health challenges are, but we are going to, again, trust you. Lord, we place these people into your hands for healing. We pray, God, that you would be with their medical team, and we pray that you'd provide for all the resources that are needed. But we also pray, God, that you'd bring them to healing and wholeness. Be with these people's families as they provide care and support. Give them energy for that effort. Give them what they need to serve. We pray they'd have good people around them to care for them. And we pray, God, that you'd bring them to wholeness and health in the great name of King Jesus, our Lord. We believe what we read in scriptures about healing. Many of us have seen it miraculously ourselves. We pray, God, for miracles for these folks, that you'd heal them and surround them with people who are encouraging and who can meet their needs. Please be with them in the great name of Jesus. We pray for those who are friends and families who will be sent off, maybe sent off to I assume this is about the conflict that's happening in Iran, maybe sent off for military engagement for this week. So we pray for these four people here, and we'll be lifting them up. So let's pray. God, we pray for these folks who are looking like they're going to see action in military engagement this week in light of this conflict. We pray, God, for their safety. We pray, God, for them and their units and all the people who they report to, for their safety, for their swift return. We pray, God, for a peaceful solution to this conflict overall. But we do pray, Lord, that you would keep these people safe, keep them alive, bring them back home whole. We pray for the people who are left behind, who are going to be worried about them. We pray for their comfort, encouragement. We pray for their prayers, that you would answer those prayers speedily, Lord God. Please, Lord, we pray you grant divine protection for these folks, and that you'd see them home soon, and that there'd be a swift end to this military engagement in the name of Jesus. Lastly, we have another request. We pray for someone's friend to come to know Christ. And we can do that. Let's go ahead and pray for this person to come to know Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for this person to come to know King Jesus. We do not know this person, but the individual who put this request before us does. We are praying, God, for this person, Lord, to continue to hear the gospel. We pray, God, for them to respond very quickly, for them to feel the urgency and the conviction to respond to Christ and to respond to Christ appropriately, to receive the good news of God's forgiveness for sinners and for God's freedom that you offer sinners, Lord God, and the reconciliation in the cross, the grace of God, the mercy of God. We pray, God, that this person would hear whatever they need to hear, whatever they need to experience. Sounds like you're working through the individual who submitted this this prayer request to draw them in. We pray, Lord, that you'd keep all godly people in this person's life encouraged in prayer, encouraged in witness, encouraged in friendship. We do pray for this person to come to know you soon and to be redeemed. Please, Lord, for this effort, bring salvation speedily in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for pressing in, folks. This is a time where the Lord is moving. This is the kind of thing that moves what happens in heaven. We read in Scripture and it tells us on earth as is in heaven. We just communicated with heaven as a congregation. The Lord will do what he will do in response, but this is what we do in the work of prayer. The worship team is going to now lead us and close us out in song. Just a word before they come up, just say it right now because I'm up here, is two things. I want to say a special thanks to everyone who served yesterday, Audrey Whittington's memorial service. Thank you for serving. Really appreciate it. I would say especially, number one, just everybody who was all hands on deck. Want to give a special shout out to the coffee team who showed up in a big way to take leadership in terms of putting everything together for Audrey's memorial service. Just really appreciate the way the church came together and appreciate the coffee team's leadership yesterday. That was pretty vital and also very important. That's a picture of who we are and how we take care of each other. So praise the Lord. And I thank you for doing that. And then also for those who are going on men's retreat, just huddle up in the fellowship hall at the end after service, because I just got want to talk to you some things. There's a little bit of a change up with men's retreat, but that's cool. It's going to be neat. And I just want to get your input on something about men's retreat, which is coming up next Saturday.